Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
I think they were all together last night. I think I saw them on stage in Miami, weren't they? At the game in Miami?
Yep.
Wilbon's brought to you by Waddle's guys at Hawk.
He is indeed. HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves me.
Before we get to Wilbon, remember, you can always watch us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you get us, a live look inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Waddle's going to be back on Monday. He was in Boston for Gino Cappelletti's funeral. We played a little bit of the eulogy that he gave. A great speech, great honor to give for Gino Cappelletti. As far as the sports is concerned, the Sox have been postponed. That game against the Yankees was scheduled for 6 tonight, a 5:30 pregame. So we will be going till 6 o'clock. All the way through. So we have a full show today. And the Cubs, I believe they've hit the 10 home run mark. Where
yes.
For the first time, I want to say, in a Cubs game since 2006.
Wow.
I believe Jesse tweeted, it says, from ESPN Stats and Info, this is the first game at Wrigley featuring at least 10 home runs since June 18th. 2006, the Tigers beat the Cubs 12-3 on 11 combined home runs.
Which led me, the Diamondbacks currently have 6, the Cubs have 4, Diamondbacks leading 9-5. That led me to ask you, hey, is Major League Baseball putting the juice balls back in play?
Do we have a new set of balls?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
But you then reminded me that, you know, two, 3 weeks ago, one of the previous times that we spoke with Len Casper, that Len pointed out, hey, the humidifiers that they've put installed into every ballpark to keep the balls at, you know, they want the same, you know, playing field everywhere across baseball. Len Casper predicted that don't be surprised if, as the weather warms up, you start to see the ball become a little bit more livelier, because all of a sudden the humidity is going in the air is going to lead to a ball that is flying off the bat. And so maybe that's what we're actually seeing today.
What was it? Because the humidity is lower than the humidity in the humidifier or something like that. So the ball's in there, and because it's a colder day with less humidity, the ball doesn't pop and fly. But when it heats up and then thus raises the humidity in the baseball and it's warmer in the air, sort of science or weather.
I was just going
to
say,
I'm too stupid to comprehend.
No, you did a very good Bill Nye there. Bill Nye, Sylvie, the science guy, just knocked it out of the park. I think that's exactly, I was not confused at all. So good job.
I don't know if I got it right.
Neither do I.
Not that I'm trying to
Nevertheless, you did a good job. And the ball is flying out of the ballpark at Wrigley today.
Yeah, and with the wind blowing out, too. It was just the anniversary for, this is a long time ago. This is before I want to even say the Lee Ilya rant. My mom still has the box score from one of the newspapers she kept somehow, some way.
Uh-huh.
The Cubs played a famous game against the Phillies. I want to say, Merck, was that 79? What year was that?
I think we were just coming out. I think you're right. Let me double check. But
was
Schmidt's three home runs or four home runs?
So this is not the Ryan Sandberg game.
This is not the Sandberg game. That's June. I want to say June 23rd.
You're right.
June 23rd, 1984.
Right.
So Bob Costas, Tony Kubek.
This was a 23-22 game.
Oh, actually, I now that you say that, this
the Cubs
I
lost
do, yes.
23-22. I'll never forget it as a kid, because the Phillies put up I want to say the Phillies had a 7-0 lead, and you're like, ah.
No, I think didn't the Cubs have the lead, or is it the Phillies?
I thought the Phillies jumped out because they're the visiting team to a 7-0 lead, and then the Cubs put up 6 in the bottom half of the first, and it was on. Double check.
May 17th, 1979 was the game.
79, yes. So we just had the anniversary here 3 days ago.
I'm trying to. So the Phillies beat the Cubs 23-22.
23-22, yeah.
All right, Sylvie. Phillies got 7 in the first. Cubs got 6 in the bottom. And the Phillies got 8 in the top of the third.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. And we're like, oh, they're going to get crushed. It's 7-0. Schmidt's killing us again. He was the ultimate Cub killer. And then Bill Buckner went to work. He had a day. Kingman went to work. He had a day. Steve Ontiveros may have had a day. Jerry Martin.
Steve Ontiveros was 1-for-7 that day.
Okay, he did not have a day.
Dave Kingman, 3-for-6, 6 ribbies.
I think he had 3 home runs.
Bill Buckner, 4-for-7, 7 ribbies.
Yep.
There not too shabby.
See, we remember our
you're right, Kingman, 3 homers on the day.
Yeah. It was one of those weird, like, weird all-time Ontiveros, Wrigley Field games.
His one hit was a home run. There you go.
I don't think I was ever as excited. I met Bill Buckner at Wick's Furniture.
Oh, yeah?
And he signed my glove, and he signed a picture, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Was he good? That's good to hear.
He was like 7 or 8 years old, and I was so nervous to meet him, and he was great.
I felt so bad for him all those years of the way he was in hiding over what happened with the Red Sox and how it really they could have made up for it. And like Bartman, so many other things could have bailed him out.
You know,
he had a great Game 7, too.
Everyone blames John McNamara, who was the manager at the time for the Red Sox. But his reasoning for doing it, I think, was good, right? Didn't he want to have him in there for the celebration?
But that is a bad reason.
I know, but
To keep in a bad defensive player late in the game so he could celebrate and be on the field is a bad decision.
Yes.
His good decision is winning the World Series and letting him come running out of the dugout.
That's the epitome of counting your chickens right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, especially when... I believe this was documented in the 30 for 30 that they did about it when he frequently would take him out as a defensive replacement all year long.
All year, yeah.
Like in the eighth inning, that was the time Bill Buckner went to the bench because he was a bad defensive first baseman. Speaking of 30 for 30s, you mentioned to me there's one coming out about the Baltimore Ravens, right?
There's some good TV stuff I want to get after. The Ravens team that beat... I want to say, didn't they?
The Giants.
They beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, but along the way, the Titans. And then they just manhandle.
Steve McNair, yeah.
Yeah, Steve McNair. And who was the running
Eddie
back
George.
To? Ray Lewis taught Eddie George the meaning of the word respect in that game. He was flying all over the field punishing people.
I want to say they beat the Raiders that year, too, and just destroyed Rich Gannon as well.
I remember that season, the Ravens, that's the best defense I can remember. Now, I'm a little too young to remember the 85 Bears. I've watched most of those games, but, you know, on video after the fact, so I didn't live and die through it. I remember, though, that Ravens defense led by Ray Lewis the year after the murder went down in Atlanta.
Right, and I covered that media day. So I've covered 6 Super Bowls in my career, including these media days. It was the most bananas of any scene media-wise because it was the first... I want to say it was the first time Ray Lewis had spoken since then. Could he have not spoken all year? There was something about it that made it super, super huge when Ray Lewis was on that stage for media day.
You might be right because I remember... Brian Billick, when he got to the Super Bowl, gave a big press conference, basically leave Ray Lewis alone this week, trying to deflect.
But there was a rule that they all had to be on the stage. Remember, they would get fined if they wouldn't.
Yeah, and so that was 2000, the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, the 2001 Super Bowl, and that I remember that team though. That season was crazy because they started out 5-1. They were winning games like 10-6 with Tony Banks as their quarterback.
Right.
They were barely scoring. I mean, this was back in the day and age in the NFL when you were allowed to hit people. And to your point, that Ravens-Titans game, that playoff game, was one of the most vicious hitting games I can ever remember watching. So it doesn't surprise me that they would, you know, this would be something that they would make a 30 for 30 about, because anybody who remembers it remembers that defense was ferocious.
Brian Bilk is a great interview. Ray Lewis obviously will have a lot of great stories, and I'm sure that will be a huge sidebar over what happened at this previous Super Bowl in Atlanta and then him being in the very next Super Bowl. The story of having a Trent Dilfer as quarterback and just managing the game is going to be... Tony Siragusa was a huge personality on that team as well.
And
Who was their running back? Who was
Jamal Lewis?
Lewis was great too.
He was. I don't think he was on that team though. Jeff, was he on that team?
I thought so. Merck, because didn't he go on to have a 2,000-yard season in a?
He did. I know that year.
I thought
he was their leading. Hang on. No, he was Merck. He was the leading rusher.
They also
had a young change of pace back. Now he was older than Jamal Lewis. But go ahead. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Who went to Kansas City?
Absolutely. Priest Holmes. Priest Holmes was their change of pace back. So they had Jamal Lewis and Priest Holmes. And Trent Dilfer was, as you mentioned, Sylvie, managing the game. But the truth is, I do remember that those playoff teams because I was just like so into that team because of the way they played defense. Trent Dilfer, even though he was, quote, managing the game, he was, was he like top five overall pick as a quarterback by the Buccaneers? And he had talent.
Yeah. He was a bust at that point
in Tampa
in his career, right?
But the truth is that he had a lot of talent, and you know he made some big throws when he needed to. So I'll be really interested to watch that one for sure.
I'm also
Kadri Ismail.
I'm Googling something that I think happened in that Super Bowl as well. Here it is. Yeah, because I was there and I remember a lot of this thing. There were three return touchdowns in 36. The only thing good from that Super Bowl, because I don't think in the end it was that close, but there were three return touchdowns in 36 seconds.
Wow.
In that year. In the third quarter, a punt that...
interception,
yeah,
kickoff return.
Yeah, exactly.
I see it. So yeah, there you go.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
30 for 30, I think, is going to be pretty good.
Absolutely. Listen, whenever they dig in deep on any topic, it's usually worth your time if it's anything remotely, you know, that you have some remote interest in. So
we haven't talked about this either while we're waiting for Wilbon. And we're on the subject of TV. The Tom Brady Netflix roast.
Yes.
Sounds good on paper. I think it could be good if this was 10 years ago. What I'm worried about in today's day and age with roasts are they're not going to be a true roast because you can't say stuff anymore. Even on pay-per-view, just ask Dave Chappelle. Like, you can't do, even those now have to be more PC. I'm not, like, I don't think... Because I love a good roast.
No, you're right.
I love a good roast where you just let it go, you let it rip, and we know you're there for a roast, and you just do it, and there are no rules. But I don't believe with Tom Brady being as famous as he is and being still in the spotlight like he is, that they are going to be able to pull it off in a no-holds-barred type of way.
Hmm. It's interesting because it is on Netflix, and so... You're right. I think if they want to go down that road, being on Netflix, they certainly can. But I think the face you're making proves to me exactly what you're thinking, is that I don't think Tom Brady will allow it to go down that road.
Right. I mean, he's still in the, like, Dave Chappelle, the fallout from his last special. You know you're going into a comedy show. You could debate. I'm not taking one side or another, though I am a very big Chappelle fan. And he got dragged for that. And, like, the comedy shows, it used to be, look, everything is a joke here. Everything's supposed to be taken with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not anymore. It's.
I wonder if they'll even venture, because remember, there's been, like, will they even be the whole, you know, Tom Brady's political leanings? Remember, there's a point in,
this is what I mean,
2015, like, think about it, where he had to kind of do some, you know, he had to do some, he was definitely managing his image at that point and distancing himself from certain things. I wonder if they'll even go down that road, because everything is very polarizing these days. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. We will definitely watch it, because we'll be intrigued to see where they go with it, but whether or not it will be worth our while or any good is a real question.
That's one of the shows on cable that I would still go to. A good Comedy Central roast.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Late at night, like a Pam Anderson, I think, got roasted once.
Justin Bieber.
The Bieber one's a classic.
Random people, and this is the people who are the roast master general, what's his name, Jeff Ross.
Yep.
And like you just have guys who have no connection to the person who are just paid to be there to roast.
Yes.
And it's like there are no rules. And they will make every joke out there. And you've just got to go in knowing that there are no boundaries.
One of my favorites, the late, great Greg Giraldo, was always excellent at the roasts. Tyler, do you know Pam Anderson? Do you know what she was famous for?
The sex tape, yeah.
Because it just, but do you know it because it was just on Hulu?
I don't think he watched the Hulu show.
No,
did
I didn't watch the Hulu show, but I've heard of it.
Aside from the sex tape, did you know who she was before that?
Oh, it's some movie, right?
Television, yeah.
Television,
not
yeah.
some movie. She was a television star, Baywatch.
Well, I was thinking about this when I tweeted out the picture of me at center court. Or no, I don't even know if you were alive for that, were you?
No, he probably
wasn't.
So
I'm standing center court on the Seattle Supersonics floor for games 3, 4, and 5. That was a picture that I put
that
on Instagram.
That was 96, right?
96.
Yeah, so I was not alive.
He was only alive for Jordan's final shot, right? Oh, you were the first one.
I got
okay.
two Jazz titles, yep.
It feels like yesterday. And then I tweeted out the picture of me in my Lewis Park apartment when I graduated in 1993. And I'm driving into work today thinking about it, saying, man, Tyler, who's awesome, he was not even a sparkle in anybody's eye at that point. You were so far off from being on this earth back in 1993.
And you know what's funny is in the last break, I was just chatting with him and Merkin. What did you say, Tyler, that I was amused because Tyler, of all people, said...
Because, no, it was about people like, were chanting overrated at your son's soccer game.
Who was? Wait, what?
Yeah, tell the story here.
So my 11-year-old son... He plays travel soccer, and it's a very competitive league. And they're a pretty good team. And they played against a team a couple weeks back, and this was my first exposure to this. My son's team was losing. They were losing 6-1. They're actually the only team that scored a goal against the team they were playing against. And as we were losing late in the second half, the team they were playing started chanting overrated.
To you guys?
To our team, just on their bench, right?
Wait, is your team highly rated?
No, that's the point. This was just like to get under our skin. It's a competitive league, fine. But it was my first exposure to another team taunting and trash talking in the midst of the game, right? And they're 11 years old, so I'm sure we're just going to get a whole dose of this coming our way, right? But it was kind of like the parents were like, oh, that's uncalled for.
And
we were
Merk,
just some squares in the stands.
And Merk took Meller's side, saying it was out of line. I said they're being a bunch of soft parents right now. They're not taking a personal attack. They're chanting overrated.
Right.
Chanting overrated.
See, now, I was just talking to another coach who was involved in a game, who will be nameless, who I know, and the other coach on the other team is also someone I know. And there was a big complaint over one team talking too much during the game. Like, are the coaches trying to teach them to be good sports? It's 6-1.
Yes.
Their 11-year-old should 11. Now, is that just something, and I don't know the answer to this, should 11-year-olds just be allowed to be 11-year-olds and start chanting overrated? Or should they be like good winners and it's 6-1 and like, hey, you guys are winning. You guys are doing everything you're supposed to do. Just be happy that you won and cheer for your own team, but don't start taunting.
Here's where I draw the line. So, Meller, your son plays on a high-level like club traveling soccer team, right?
Yes.
Travel soccer is a bunch of really talented kids. If this were house league, like an AYSO house league or a house league baseball, and you're chanting over like, that's where I think it's a little out of line.
Well, shouldn't the high level player not give a rip about what like how rated the other team is?
And I think
not be doing chants because they're really good soccer players.
Well, that's the thing is all these standings and stuff now with these high level youth sports, they're all online.
They are. That's
so it's amazing to see like how technology sort of is influencing some of these youth sports like that, where you have the access, you can see the goal differential. Like Meller was showing me his team's goal differential the other day.
Oh, right.
Naturally.
That's the truest indicator of a good travel youth soccer
the
team.
The Pythagorean of Alex's soccer team.
Sure.
But nevertheless, it was just odd to me that because like you said, Sylvia, we're not rated. Here's the thing: there was no real talking. It wasn't like we came in and said, "Hey, we're gonna throttle you guys." There was, you know, we were certainly walking in humble, just trying to hang with them. So it was amusing to me, and I was more than anything laughing at the fact that Tyler, of all people, 24-year-old Tyler, was like, kids these days, man, they just, they're not, they have no care in the world.
Not
they're
like
just,
they used to be.
Yes, nope. Yes. So I was amused by that.
And soft parents. Yes. That's the road you took. I don't know. That's like, act like you've been there, right? 6'1".
That was my thought. Like hey.
Like, yeah, you want to chant how good you are, but... She's throwing out barbs to the other team over
travel soccer, though.
Here's the thing. Waddle says it best. Act like you've been there before. It's the truest form, right? Like,
no,
like,
Waddle also says, don't be mad when they boo back.
But who was getting booed in the first time?
But if your team started chanting it back at them, then the other team's got nothing to say back.
But that's not the debate. The debate is, why were they taunting the team losing 6-1?
Yes. So, we didn't come in and say, hey, we're going to throttle you guys.
I've got a question for you now. So back when I played travel baseball, you could always tell which players played travel versus which ones just played the house league because the travel players got the striped pants.
Oh, boy.
The striped baseball pants. I don't know if this is still a thing. Is it out of line? And the travel players would always wear the striped pants when they were in the house league games, too, because you could play both. Is it out of line to chant overrated at the striped pants kids?
Yes. See? Now, I would say no, because that's a way of them showing off. And if something happens, I'm like, you know what?
Just play baseball and stop this chant. I mean, seriously. I mean, what are we?
Like, we're getting under Merck's skin now.
I'm cool with chanting for your team, but the unnecessary taunting.
There's certain teams out there, when a pitcher is pitching, shut your mouth, okay? And I mean, how about that, too? All right?
Well, wait a minute. What if they're cheering for their own team?
No, while the pitcher, I'm talking about the opposing team.
Waddle used to yell balk.
Yeah, well, they just don't.
How young is too young to taunt? That's the question.
312-332-3776. Also, Finding the Great. We'll find the great coming up next. It's brought to you by Great Clips. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
We are celebrating Miller Time every day, and you should join us. We're going to be taking the Waddle and Sylvie show, that's this show, on the road throughout the rest of the year, courtesy of Miller Lights. Next Friday, Waddle and Sylvie will be at Binney's in Lincoln Park, getting you ready for the Crosstown Series and giving away tickets to the weekend matchup. Live broadcast from 2 to 6. It's Miller Time at Binney's. Come join us.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Some youth sports came up while we were just going down the road, having a conversation. Jim says Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights would never let his kids taunt.
Sure.
I use him as my example as the coach I'd like to be. Me too. He's got this demeanor where he can speak slowly and softly and get that message across without yelling. Like, I never can do that. I can't do that with my kids. It's terrible, and I wish I had that quality.
No, and I tried to turn it into a positive, you know, when my son did. Like, I didn't bring it up, but later on that night, my son did mention it. Hey, they were chanting overrated. That wasn't cool. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. And remember that feeling the next time you even think to yourself, hey, I'm going to taunt somebody else. And so I tried to turn it into a positive and just say, you know what, it isn't cool, but don't worry about it. You know, what people say really doesn't affect you. So just go out, play the best you can, and don't worry about it. But just remember that you don't want someone else to feel the way you felt initially, and so don't ever do that. So
right.
I tried
it's
to turn it into a positive, right?
It's a parenting moment.
And that's all you can do. But yeah, it did take me for a bit of a loop there at 11 years old. The first time you run into it as a parent of a youth sports player, you say to yourself, huh, well, I'm like, it's somewhat to you were pointing out with the Netflix special. Have you gone too far? Right. And I'm like thinking to myself, as an 11-year-old, I can probably let it roll off my back. It's not going to affect me that much. But then again, every kid is different. And so you have to make sure that you let your kid understand that, hey, this is not something I would do. Let's try and be nice to people, right?
Well, a bad thing that's happened in our family with my oldest is the Astros cheating scandal for a couple different reasons. Because game 4 of the White Sox playoff game is the one I took Mason to,
mm-hmm.
where the crowd got in a full lather doing the cheaters, 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 which he thoroughly enjoyed.
Yep.
Now, whenever they're playing in a baseball game, he's accusing the other team of cheating, and he'll start chanting cheaters, 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 and he doesn't understand the concept of what cheating really is now.
Yes.
Thanks, Astros.
That was a huge thing. I think we were 8 years old, where you play, you keep score, but they don't keep a standings. Like, you couldn't look up the standings online. So our team, we were pretty good, but there were some games where we did lose. But we would always say, no, we didn't actually lose to Johnny in Miss Rosen's class. We didn't lose to Johnny. No, they cheated. So we were actually like 22 and 5 that season.
I thought you were going to say you were 22 years old when you were accusing them. How old were you then when you were accusing them of cheating? Like eight?
We were 8.
Yeah.
8. It was the first year that the kids could pitch.
Wayne downtown, and then we'll get to find the great. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
So I think that the Tunners, those kids were jerks, and their parents, they should have, told them that, that's something that you shouldn't do. When they got home, these are young men, and this is the learning time for them. And I want to say young man and women if they're ladies in that league. But the bottom line, this is the time and the teaching time for parents to tell them right from wrong. But of course, you don't do that. You don't taunt anybody. You don't bully anybody. And this is the time to learn that.
No, it's a good point, Wayne. And like I said, I tried to do my best to set the example for my son, but obviously, I'm not going to go over and parent someone else's child. So,
You don't want to get involved in the intelligence.
Absolutely.
Talking to other parents' kids.
No.
That's never when you never want to argue with the other team's parents, because then that kid's ugly. That's what's all the bad stuff about youth sports.
No doubt about it. So,
all right, let's do something else here as we find the great, brought to you by Great Clips.
It's time to find the great on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Find the great, presented by Great Clips.
Can I start here? Mine's a retro find the great, because I found the great today on Twitter. And whenever this comes up as an anniversary, you know me, and on all these shows, we always look back in Chicago sports history, some of the great moments and everything like this. This still, I could watch this highlight 100 times today, and I've probably seen it 10,000 times. To me, it was the best dunk in a Bulls game ever, and it happened on this day back in the postseason where Michael was retired, the 93-94 season. So the spring of 94 on this date against the Knicks, that had everything in that series, and here it was, one of the high points for Scottie Pippen.
The team in blocks in the playoffs. Great passing. Oh, baby. Holy cow. Now, right there, a lot was said. And Scotty Pippen just went over to tell Spike Lee a few things also. Because as Pippen dunked, this was an elevation. Now, he is jacked up.
Listen to how loud that building was. And Scotty not only dunked it right over Ewing, and it was a true poster. It wasn't like one of these side posters where the guy's just kind of in the picture. Ewing was going for the block, and I want to say with both hands in the air. And then as they fell to the ground, Scotty kept his balance.
Yes.
And then straddled Ewing.
Yes.
And really, you talk about a taunt. That was
a good point.
That would get you kicked out of an NFL game these days.
And that was a true, if you wanted to chant overrated at that moment, because Patrick Ewing was a perennial All-NBAer, you could have easily at that moment busted it out. I think Scottie Pippen was playing the literal version of D's Nuts as he walked over Ewing, right?
It was incredible. If you've not seen that highlight from 94, it's spectacular. That series had the Scottie Pippen 1.8 seconds sitting. It had the phantom foul.
Hubert Davis.
That also involved Scottie Pippen and Hubert Davis.
I don't know if that was like one of my first heartbreaking moments as a kid watching the Bulls, that series play out.
And they were such a good story because without Michael, oh my gosh, we've won, they win 55 that year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would have gotten them to the Eastern Conference Finals. This was the Eastern Conference Semis. Yep. But that series had everything. It was a full 7-game series. They lost in 7. They should have won it because of that phantom foul screwed them up. Mm-hmm. And was JoJo English fight in that series too, Mark?
I believe so. And I think they won 57 games.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Pippen
Horace
was...
Horace Grant was still on the team before he left for Orlando.
Scottie Pippen was either runner-up or finished third for MVP voting that year. He was awesome.
He was the MVP of the All-Star game that year.
That's
it was just...
Had that terrible haircut.
And he ruined it. he ruined it by sitting with 1.8 seconds.
He really did.
But he blames Michael for that, of course. Oh, no, he blames Phil for that, right?
Yes.
He blames Phil... Because Phil should have called the play for him.
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, what are you finding?
I'm going to steal a page from your book here, Sylvie, and use my Find the Great as I'm looking for the great here, and I'm going to thrust it on Jimmy Butler, who, while his numbers were solid last night, the Celtics absolutely put it on the Miami Heat, winning by 25 in game two. And all this conversation about Jimmy Butler, the quote-unquote superstar, listen, you want to be a superstar? I think he needs to lead this Heat team to at least a second NBA Finals, if not an NBA championship, if he truly wants to get that superstar designation.
I'd like to debate you on that later, okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm
for sure.
Very into this topic, and I know people are going to go after Jimmy. Tyler, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the White Sox. The White Sox need to find the great this weekend. You've got 3 in 2 days against the New York Yankees, who beat you three games to one earlier at your place. Now, the White Sox struggling a little bit. You took 3 out of 5 against Kansas City, but that's a team that you should probably take at least 4 out of 5 against. So I am calling on the White Sox. They need to find the great this weekend in the Bronx.
Merck, what are you looking for as far as finding the great?
Well, I'm going to go with someone who's already found greatness, Sylvie, and he was honored today with a statue. That's before the game at Wrigley. Fergie Jenkins, I don't think he ever gets mentioned enough as how great. A friend of mine, Ryan, texted me today saying, compare Zach Greinke and Fergie's numbers. Fergie won 20 games 6 straight years, won 20 games 7 times overall with those Cubs teams, which were not very good except for 1969, Miller.
Nice.
And if you look at the complete games, 20, 20, 23, 24, 30, 23, 29.
It's incredible.
So that's my finding the greatest. Fergie Jenkins deserved the statue today. Great Cub, Hall of Famer. Way to go, Fergie.
Go ahead.
Is the Fergie Jenkins statue going to be half Greg Maddux?
That's a good joke because that's where it was going.
Uh-huh.
Because I like Greg Maddux. I like Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux won one Cy Young with the Cubs, and then he left. And the year before he won Cy Young, I think he won 19 games. So he was doing some good stuff. But he really pooped his pants in his playoff start against the Giants. And they copped out, and they shared the number 31. That should not be a shared number. Like, in my opinion, and it's an unpopular one with other Cubs fans, but I don't believe Greg Maddux did enough in a Cubs uniform to get his number retired. I believe what John Lester or Jake Arrieta did in a Cubs uniform was better when you compare Cubs career to Cubs career.
Yes, I agree with you completely. If the problem with giving both the flag where you both get the honor for their number being retired is that now you've set the bar where somebody like John Lester and Jake Arrieta, who when you look at their numbers throughout their Cub career, probably should get that honor too. If the bar is Maddux,
right?
There's a lot
and
of
it's
guys
not Atlanta.
Who have,
you don't retire numbers based on what he did in Atlanta and historically great. You do his first time with the Cubs and then his second time when he came back in 2004. And I'm worried, this is silly, but, I don't think, I've said this before, I want 34 retired. I believe, and we asked Jake about his number retired, I believe Lester deserves it more than Arrieta for the longer of goodness. I don't want John Lester sharing that with Kerry Wood. I don't want to do a 34 for Wood and Lester. I don't think Woody did enough. Fan favorite, yes. 20 games, yes. Rookie of the year, yes. But what John Lester did in the postseason in his Cubs career, what he changed the course of history by signing up with the Cubs, he was one of the most important free agents in the history of the city. That guy deserves it, and I don't want to cop out. And Fergie, the whole point of it is Fergie didn't deserve to have his number shared on the flag. And now he got his own statue. And that was a good joke, too. Half Maddux, half Fergie. All right, so what to watch for, it's coming up next.
Hoop heads, are you ready for game 2 of the Western Conference Finals? Well, I'm about to get you ready. It's time for your Caesars Sportsbook report. Jeff Mellor here to let you know that your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook is risk-free up to $1,100. Just download the app and use the promo code RadioCZR. That's RadioCZR, and then place your first bet. If you win, congrats. But if not, you'll get your wager back as a free bet. On the Caesars app right now, the Mavs are getting 6 points tonight in Game 2, plus 210 on the money line. If you're in on the Warriors taking a 2-0 lead to Dallas, then go ahead and lay the 6. Whatever you like, the Caesars app has you covered. You want an odds boost? How about this odds boost for tonight? If Jalen Brunson, Andrew Wiggins, and Spencer Dinwiddie all go over 14.5 points, Caesars is paying out plus 320. So go ahead and get started with a risk-free bet on Caesars. Just make sure you use that promo code RadioCZR when you sign up. Must be 21 and physically present in Illinois. New users only. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Paid as a single bet credit. Must be used within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right. What to Watch For. We'll spin around the room. Our favorite shows or sporting events for this week. You want to start us off like Waddle normally does?
Yeah,
or you
absolutely.
Want me to go? Go
sure.
ahead.
I will go ahead and give us a start here. I've been saying it a couple times, but man, the Premier League, it's the final Sunday, Championship Sunday. You know I'll be locked in on that 10 o'clock all across the NBC networks. I'll be watching, crossing my fingers and hoping Man City either loses or draws and my Liverpool football club can win so that they can win the title. That's what I'm locked in on, Sylvie. But of course, if you want some viewing recommendations that I love to give out, Netflix, have you checked out the White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch yet?
No. Uh-uh.
I think
documentary based on
yeah. And listen, I'm sure anybody who remembers Abercrombie and Fitch probably remembers a lot of the trouble that the brand got into. If you're like me, if you're someone who's like, you know, in the, you know, 50 or younger, or maybe 50, between the ages of like 50 and 30, you probably will have a lot of nostalgia.
I've never bought one. So I think I'm just
okay.
above their demo.
Well, then you know what?
Like what I always remember from Abercrombie and Fitch,
yes,
is when you'd walk by their store in the mall, it was the smelliest store in the mall. Like the perfumes and Absolutely. The cologne would just hit you like a punch in the face.
And they cover that in this documentary. And I have to imagine your wife, Ellie, it will be okay. right in her wheelhouse. I bet she'll enjoy it. And of course, I've said it multiple times, we own this city on HBO,
yeah, I know,
dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so mad there's only two episodes left.
I got to start that. I did start Minx. My wife and I have started Minx. Which is also HBO,
mm-hmm.
and Meller gave that recommendation, and like a typical Meller recommendation, there are multiple shots of frontal man nudity.
Well.
Multiple, like, on and on and on and on.
Again, erroneous, because Waddle recommended it to me.
Oh, he
this
recommended.
This was a Waddle
oh,
pick,
wow.
and that's why I was making fun of Waddle, because I said, sure enough, Waddle, no surprise, I see why you are such a big proponent of this series.
Very funny, though, and very good, and I'm going to stick with it. I'll give you, there are a couple things on Netflix I'm interested in. I'll save one for next week, unless someone takes this now. I made this comment during the week. The new series from David Letterman, my next guest, is back on Netflix, which includes the Kevin Durant interview. Also, Merck, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is interviewed in this year's show. Also, Will Smith. But I don't think it was done.
Yeah, it's after.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it wasn't done after. It was
before.
Done before.
Done before, right.
I mean, that would really be a good get. But it's a good show. Like, I pick and choose. I don't watch every one of his episodes. I'm a huge Letterman guy. That was how I was brought up. I was never Leno. I was always Team Letterman. And I like his interviews, and I'm going to watch for sure the Kevin Durant interview and Julie Louis-Dreyfus. I think Ryan Reynolds is in this season as well. So check it out. It's on Netflix. What do you boys have? Tyler, Merck?
I'll be dialed into the PGA Championship this weekend. We're coming up on cutting time here. Will Zalatoris with the lead at 7-under. Justin Thomas at 6-under. Rory's at 4-under right now. So it should be a good final 2 days of the PGA Tour, and that leaderboard brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Merck, I thought you said Rory was having a tough go of it.
He's
rallied?
He's 2 over. He's back to 1 over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he's and Tiger
he struggled today.
Tiger's currently one off the cut line, so he needs to birdie the next hole, which is par five, to hopefully and then par out. I'm going to go with a show. I don't know what this Netflix thing you guys talk about, but I'm going to go with...
It's on ABC 7.
You want to give us a Seinfeld rerun that's on the docket?
There's a show that our family really got into during COVID. It's on the CW, and you can catch it actually on Netflix. It's called All American. It's kind of, Sylvia, it's kind of like another version, the modern day version of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, it's really? Like a West Coast Friday Night Lights.
It's really good.
Really?
Tay Diggs is in it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a spinoff on it too that my wife and I watch. We're way behind on both of them, so I'm going to catch up on both those shows, hopefully this weekend.
So are you watching it on the CW with commercials? Are you DVRing?
Yeah, DVR it and then watch it back and on the weekend.
Spin it through.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me mention one more thing too, which caught my attention today. HBO's Real Sport. They're going to have several of the accusers of Deshaun Watson are sitting down for an interview. That's this Tuesday. It's airing on HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. So I'm going to check that out as well.
We should have something from the NFL soon. Weren't they talking to Deshaun Watson this week?
Yes.
So who knows where that goes, especially in the wake of what baseball has recently done with a two-year suspension. I'm not saying he's getting 2 years, but it could be a very severe. Like, there's been some theories he could be out for the year. Who knows? We'll see where the NFL rules.
And I have to imagine this will, you know, I would think this will shape in some way the public narrative of whatever's happening. I think the timing of this before Deshaun Watson, before the NFL rules on this, is probably important, I would say.
All right. We will continue to get you up to date. No Sox game tonight. That's been rained out. Cubs just lost to the Diamondbacks. Was the final there 10-6, boys?
10-6.
10-6. Cubs lose. They've lost three in a row now. Lots of home runs on the north side of Chicago. We will still talk to Len. Could it have gotten really ugly if the Sox didn't pull yesterday's game out? We'll talk to Len about that and my proposal of moving Sox-Yankees to Iowa. It's all coming up next.